New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.' John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and honey. He proclaimed, 'The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.' This is the word of our Lord." There are many buzzwords that envelop our Advent season. There are buzzwords like waiting and anticipating and expecting and hoping and preparing. There are phrases like expectantly watching for the arrival of Christ and preparing the way of the Lord. Over this past week, I spent a lot of time contemplating those buzzwords and what they really convey to us. And I asked many people what those words meant to them and how they had an impact on them. And what I concluded with is that those Advent buzzwords are just that. They are buzzwords. They are words or phrases that we pull out during this time of our calendar year, and we use them without any sort of depth or true understanding or meaning anymore. They may have originally possessed and expressed the significance of this Advent season, but unfortunately for many people, they are handed down to us, and year after year, they have lost their significance, which confronts us then with an opportunity. And that opportunity, if you so choose to embrace it, is an opportunity to really contemplate what the Advent season means to you. It's an opportunity to personally redefine these Advent buzzwords. And more specifically, it's an opportunity to personally interpret what phrases like "prepare the way of the Lord" actually means to us in our modern day context. As we embark on this journey of contemplation, attempting to find the true meaning and significance of this Advent season, and as we parse out what it actually means to prepare the way of the Lord, then let us do so by turning to our prophet Isaiah and examining our Old Testament passage a little bit more closely. In our reading this morning from Isaiah, we find a passage that was written for and about a group of people who were under great distress. Jerusalem had been conquered and destroyed by the Babylonian Empire, and many of the leaders and much of the population had been marched off to Babylon. Most were dwelling as captives along the Euphrates River. These were extremely difficult times for the people of Judah. Their temple had been destroyed. They had been thrown out of their home and off their land, and they were separated from their friends and their family. Everything that they once knew and perceived as normal had been completely turned upside down. They felt defeated, and they had little to no hope or certainty of their future. But God met them there in that hopeless state of despair as they lived as captives in Babylon. And by way of Isaiah, God presented them with a word of comfort and hope as he foretold the future of their return. In verse 3 and 4 of Isaiah, Isaiah describes their return and the route that the Jews were to take. More specifically, he says, "This is the way that the Lord has prepared for you." And the way of the Lord, as Isaiah describes it, is one in which there is a straight path through the desert wilderness. It's a path where the valleys are raised up and the mountains are squashed down, and there is nothing but level, smooth ground for them to walk on. You see, for the Jews living as exiles in Babylon, the most direct route from Babylon to their homeland would have been through the Syrian desert. However, it is highly unlikely that the exiles returning from Babylon would have traveled that dangerous trek through the waterless desert. Instead, they would have gone up the Euphrates River into northern Syria and then back down the Jordan River into Jerusalem. If you look at the palm of your hand, Babylon sits below your pinky. And over here to your thumb would be Jerusalem. So clearly the most direct route would be across your palm in order to return home again. But in order to have water to make that trek, you needed to follow the Euphrates River up into northern Syria and then back down the Jordan River into Jerusalem. So instead of having to make that long trek up and down the Euphrates River and the Jordan River, God promised to forge a new direct path for them through the desert. God was promising a path where they could walk the most direct possible route, as dangerous as it might be, and he promised them that they would be equipped with everything that they possibly needed in order to make that journey back home safely again. So as we contemplate what this Advent season means to us, and as we examine and interpret this phrase, this Advent phrase, prepare the way of our Lord, from the perspective of Isaiah, then it speaks a word of comfort and hope to us. It is telling us that whenever we find ourselves living as modern-day exiles, with little to no hope or certainty about the future, when everything that we once knew or perceived as normal has been turned completely upside down, then God tells us that he has plans to meet us in those places and to prepare a path home for us again. God always has a plan to prepare a path for us. And while at times the path before us may look challenging and daunting and dangerous, God assures us that we will have exactly what we need to make that trek home safely again. There is a well-known and highly acclaimed Episcopal minister, Barbara Brown Taylor. In addition to being a brilliant preacher, she has written 13 books. And in her most recent book, Learning to Walk in the Dark, which is one that has made it onto the New York's bestseller list, she writes about the necessity of darkness in our lives, how we are not to fear it or attempt to run from it or avoid it, but rather we are to sit with it and embrace it. She concludes that the most life-altering, revelatory thing we can do is to make our journey through those places of exile in our lives and to learn how to walk in the darkness. Just to share one short but extremely powerful quote from her book with you, Taylor states, "How do we develop the courage to walk in the dark if we are never asked to practice? There are things I have learned in the dark which I never could have learned in the light, things that have saved my life over and over again. So there's really only one logical conclusion. I need darkness as much as I need light." Throughout our lives, there are all sorts of challenges that will arise. There are heartaches that we all will encounter with deep distress and despair and where we no longer have hope. There are deaths that we face. There are personal illnesses, medical diagnoses, financial struggles, and betrayals. There are all kinds of things that cause us to live as modern-day exiles in our minds and in our lives. You all know where those places of exile exist for you in your lives, and you know where you have previously lived as exiles before. So as we take this Advent phrase to prepare the way and apply it to our lives, then it means that we are to sit in those places of exile, where it is dark and scary and desolate, and we learn how to walk there. God promises to meet us there and prepare a path for us, to make our ground level again, as he provides us with a direct route home safely. And as Barbara Brown Taylor notes, there are things that we learn in those dark places which we never could have learned in the light. In the dark, there is self-discovery. In the dark, there is revelation and a deeper insight gained about God. And once we have traveled through the darkness, learned to walk through it, and witness God prepare a path for us so that we can make it back home safely again, then it allows us to be able to prepare the way for others. And that is the second aspect of this Advent phrase, to prepare the way, that I wanted us to examine a little bit more closely, how we can prepare the way for other people. Our scripture reading this morning began with an insistent double imperative from God, saying, "Comfort, O comfort my people." It was a command given to Isaiah to take a word of hope and comfort to the Jews that were living in exile, but it's also a command from God to us to take words of hope and comfort to the modern-day exiles, those facing the calamities of life, who have found themselves in the deep pits of despair, and they no longer have hope. Once we ourselves have sat in these lowly dark places and have emerged again from those pits, then it equips us with the ability to help others who find themselves in similar dark situations. It equips us with the ability to prepare the way for them. Recently, I heard a rather funny joke that I wanted to share with you all this morning, and it is a joke about a young woman who found herself stuck in a snowstorm. And so her little sports car is stuck in the snow, and she's flustered about the situation, so she gets out of her vehicle to try and push it. So she gets out, and she has on her dress and her high-heeled boots, and she goes to the back of the vehicle and tries to push it to no avail. So she walks back and climbs into the car, and about that time, she heard her father's voice in her head. And she was remembering the fact when her father told her, if you ever find yourself stuck in a snowstorm, then just wait for the snowplow, and they will clear the way, and you can follow them back home again. So about that time, a snowplow comes through, and she does just that. She follows right behind it, and she follows them for about 15 or 20 minutes, and the operator of the snowplow jumps out, and he walks over to her vehicle and knocks on the window. So she rolls her window down, and he says, young lady, what exactly are you doing? And she told him, she said, you know, my dad told me if I ever found myself stuck in a snowstorm that I was supposed to wait for the snowplow, and they were going to clear the way, and I would be led back home safely again. And he said, well, I just finished up Walmart's parking lot, and I'm headed over to Best Buy if you want to follow me over there. There are times in our lives when God will need to prepare the way for us. And there are times in our lives when we will need to prepare the way for someone else. There are times when we will need to follow a snowplow, and there are times when we can be the snowplow for another person. We have all lived as modern-day exiles, and we have experienced the throes of life, and God prepared a way for each of us. Through those experiences, we learn to walk in the darkness. And what we are to do then is to take those experiences and to comfort God's people as we prepare a way for them. May this Advent season be a time where you truly find the meaning of this season as you redefine these buzzwords. And may you have a richer understanding of what it really entails to prepare the way. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.